Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts, also known as the Word is the Way to Life broadcast, and we thank you for tuning in. We've been doing a journey in the Psalms from Psalm 51 to Psalm 100, and this week we're in Psalm 74. It's a little long psalm, so bear with me as I read the scriptures in Psalm 74. Hear God's Word. O God, why have you rejected us forever? Why is your anger so intense against the sheep of your own pasture? Remember that we are the people you chose in ancient times, the tribe you redeemed as your own special possession. And remember Jerusalem, your home here on earth. Walk through the awful ruins of the city and see how the enemy has destroyed your sanctuary. There your enemies shouted their victorious battle cries. There they set up their battle standards. They chopped down the entrance like a woodcutter's in a forest with axes and picks, and they smashed the carved paneling. They set the sanctuary on fire, burning it to the ground. They utterly defiled the place that bears your holy name. Then they thought, let's destroy everything. So they burned down all the places where God was worshipped. We see no miraculous signs as evidence that you will save us. All the prophets are gone, and no one can tell us when it'll end. How long, O God, will you allow your enemies to mock you? Will you let them dishonor your name forever? Why do you hold back your strong right hand? Unleash your powerful fist and deliver a death blow. You, O God, are my king from ages past, bringing salvation to the earth. You split the sea by your strength and smashed the sea monster's heads, crushed the heads of the leviathan, and let the desert animals eat him. You caused springs and streams to gush forth, and you dried up rivers that never run dry. Both day and night belong to you, and you made the starlight and the sun. You have set the boundaries of the earth, and you made both summer and winter. See how these enemies scoff at you, Lord. A foolish nation has dishonored your name. Don't let these wild beasts destroy your doves. Don't forget your afflicted people forever. Remember your covenant promises, for the land is full of darkness and violence. Don't let the downtrodden be consistently and constantly disgraced. Instead, let the poor and needy ones give praise to your name. Arise, O God, and defend your cause. Remember how these fools insult you all day long. Don't overlook things your enemies have said. Their uproar of rebellion grows louder. May God add his blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of Psalm 74. I think sometimes we're all prone to forget things. I tell people I got Alzheimer's. I can only remember half of the time, and I do forget things. And when we miss an appointment, we might say, it just slipped my mind. You know, human memories are fallible, prone to falter, especially in our brain's age. Yeah, I think in comparison, though, the Bible describes God's memory as being so much more substantial than mere mental activity. It involves an act of his will. And when God remembers, he acts. I think that's what the psalmist was saying as he expressed the despair at the terrible suffering that had come upon Israel and God's apparent unwillingness to do anything about it. The references to the ruins of Mount Zion and the destruction of God's sanctuary suggest that he's referring to the fall of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians in 586 B.C. The psalmist begins with a request for God to remember. I think in particular to remember who is suffering. That it isn't just any nation, Lord, it's Israel. You know, the sheep of your pasture. God has redeemed them and chosen to dwell in their midst. I think the psalmist doesn't think that God had mentally forgotten who his chosen people are. I think what he is saying, in essence, since you're our shepherd, do something. And then in verses 4 through 8, he describes the graphic detail of the wanton destruction by the enemies who smashed and burned and defiled the temple of the Lord. And the psalmist did not question God on whether or not Israel deserved this suffering. No, he's referring to the destruction of Jerusalem, and then we know it was in a judgment on Israel for the centuries of sin and idolatry, and which God forewarned number of times through the prophet like Jeremiah. The psalmist's question was, how long? How long? Reflects the frustration that God is silent about when their suffering would end. That's what he'd like to know. And I think at this point it seems that the psalmist has lost his faith in God, but he hadn't. He goes on in verses 12 through 17 and reminds himself and all the rest of his fellow Israelites of God's mighty power as seen in his creation of the world. Now, if, you know, I like the buts and the ifs, if God made everything, you know, the land, the sea, the summer, and the winter, then he has the power to rescue his people. Amen? Well, the psalmist ends with 7 pleas for God to act. Remember, do not hand over, do not forget, have regard, do not let, rise up, don't ignore. I think the first plea again is, remember, O Lord. In particular, for God to remember the covenant that he made with Abraham. You can find that in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And I think the psalmist essentially is pleading with God, your promise to bless us and to make us great. Please act now, O God. Now, how do we feel like that sometimes? I think sometimes, too, we feel that powerful forces of the world, the flesh and the devil, are having victory over us. Yeah, life's not easy. But we push on through with perseverance because we know that we win in the end. And sometimes we are in despair. I admit that. But God had promised to complete the good work that he began in our lives, Philippians 1:6. So if we ever think that we're fighting a losing battle alone and we cry out to God, remember me, O Lord, rise up and act. And guess what he did? He realized what was going on and he sent his only son. I think God said, you know, I sent the prophets. I've done all that. And they killed the prophets. And I don't know. Aha. I think he had one of them aha moments. I know what I'll do. I'll go down and become one like them. Well, I don't know if I want to just jump down there. No, I know. They come through the birth canal. That's what I need to do. I will find the perfect servant girl. You know, Mary, I know her, and I'm going to implant the Holy Spirit in her, and she will become pregnant, and my son will come through the birth canal and experience everything that my humans experience. And then I'll know how they feel, what to do, and the forgiveness of sin, and I'll teach them the way. You know, Jesus is the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. And that's exactly what he did. Jesus came into the world just like you and I come into this world. He experienced everything like you and I experience, rejection, sin, but he didn't give in to the sin. No, he was spit upon and he wasn't received and it was awful. But he kept on keeping on and he taught and he showed the people the way to life and the way that they can have a relationship with God, a personal relationship. And then he did something that is just unbelievable. Now they knew because they were taught years there could be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And he took the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary, shedding his own blood. You know, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he shed his own blood for the forgiveness of sin. And he even told them as he cried out on the cross when they were crucifying him, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And then the veil in the temple was rent in two when he gave up the ghost. And now we have access directly to God. We don't need to go through the priests. We don't need to have animal sacrifices because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for us. Now we have direct access with God. And then when they put him in the tomb and they rolled the big stone over and the old devil said, I got victory over this old boy. That's it. That's the end of him. And then the third day he rose from the dead, breaking that bondage over sin and death, and seen by many, and ministered for 40 days. And then you said, okay, I got to go back to heaven, and you went back to heaven. But, you know, I like the buts and the ifs, but I am coming back to set up my kingdom here on earth. And we are looking forward to that day when he breaks the eastern sky. But in the meantime, we have his Holy Spirit, because he said he was going to send one greater than him. I don't know how that could be, but he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been with us and for us, helping us along this life and through the challenges, and we can rely on him, and then teaching us and training us to return with Jesus if we go home to be with him before he returns, because when we return, we won't experience physical death. That is a wonderful promise. But, you know, either way, we win. And Jesus is coming back soon. And I hope and pray you have your heart prepared for the receiving of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, God loves you, and so do I. And I hope and pray that there's been times in your life that you can think back and you can really think, well, I think God rejected me. I don't know where he is, but I can assure you, just like the psalmist was talking about, the guidance that'll give us peace that passes all understanding to work through all these challenges. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trials and tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world. So what other promises have God has given to us? Man, oh man, he has given them to us, and the Bible is full of the promises. And I'm hanging on to the blessed hope. Pray that you are too. Have a wonderful day in Yeshua's name. Amen.